This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on December 8, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, how businesses can respect human rights. The right-wing tax plan to increase income inequality in the United States, and the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. Every year, the United Nations brings together business, government, and union leaders to evaluate progress on the respect for human rights in company activities. The goal is to move the UN's guiding principles on business from paper to practice. At a recent forum held to discuss the guiding principles, Christy Hoffman told the delegates that some progress towards the respect for human rights has been made, but there is much more to be done. Ms. Hoffman is the Deputy General Secretary of UNI Global Union. UNI represents some 20 million workers employed in the skills and services sectors.
I began my trade union career nearly 40 years ago as a shop steward in a large factory. And as a shop steward, my job was to represent workers with their complaints, which we called then and still do grievances. I handled thousands of these. On the grievance form, there are two lines. The first one asks for the violation. And the second one, more important, far more important, remedy requested. Well, the job of the union was always then and still today to obtain a remedy to the many problems workers confront in the world. It is not enough to identify the violations of our human rights. There must also be a remedy. But awareness of the guiding principles, voluntary steps, and soft law have not been enough. There is a big gap between talk and action, between policy and progress. Remedy is all too rare. We still have 11% of the world's children at work, and progress has stalled for those between 5 and 11. There are more people in modern slavery than ever before, and respect for the fundamental enabling right of freedom of association has actually declined over the past 5 years, as measured by Vigeo Eiris. This comes as no surprise to me and my colleagues, because this is the message we hear from unions and workers every day. So what can we do? We know from decades of workplace audits that voluntary steps do not get the job done. Already, our benchmark programs show that almost all companies are well below a passing score. This session is intended as a call to action, and delegates, more action is required in order to deliver on the promise of the guiding principles. To businesses, we say, recognize unions at your places of work and throughout your supply chain. Engage in collective bargaining in order to address inequality, in order to provide a fair and decent conditions to your employees. You and your suppliers should pay a living wage at a minimum and offer safe workplaces. You should also sign binding agreements with global unions, such as the Bangladesh Accord, or global agreements which address freedom of association and other fundamental rights. More than 100 companies have already done so. If you are a global company, you need a global counterpart as part of your due diligence, as part of your commitment to human rights. To governments, yes, legislate, reporting, and transparency, these are good steps, but it is not enough to know about the problem and measure it. There must be legally imposed remedies for violations of human rights, and businesses must assume their responsibility through a binding framework, as they have already done for so many other norms, for example, anti-corruption and anti-discrimination. We ask that you do four things in order to secure respect for human rights by businesses. Pass legislation to mandate due diligence and supply chain transparency. Take legal and administrative steps to allow for access to effective remedy within your borders, including for company operations abroad. Support an ILO supply chain convention to guarantee labor rights across the footprint. And lastly, but not least, support a binding UN treaty on transnational corporations. Now, you may say that these are good aspirations, but not practical in today's modern economy. And I say, yes, these are aspirational, but they are also attainable. We must be the best we can be. Those of us in this room are among the best informed in the world about business responsibility for human rights, so we should now make it happen.
In the United States, labor unions are fighting plans by the ruling right-wing Republican Party to dramatically cut tax rates for corporations. Both the Senate and the House of Representatives have agreed to plans which will cut the official corporate tax rate from 35 to 20%, while increasing taxes for the middle class and the poor. Richard Trumka is the president of the AFL-CIO, the largest labor federation in the U.S.
It is the great con. Any tax plan that's going to be good for working people should do three basic things. One, corporations, Wall Street, and the rich should pay their fair share. Two, it should create enough revenue that will create jobs and invest so that we can invest in infrastructure and education to meet the needs of working people in our communities. And three, it should destroy all incentives to offshore jobs and profits. This tax plan fails miserably on all three of those things. They increased the rate on the people at the bottom from 10 to 12%. They decreased the rate for all the people at the top. There simply is no evidence in theory or in fact to support the notion that cutting rates actually increases growth. Let me use Boeing. From 2002 to 2016, Boeing's effective rate was 3%. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. Corporate America has 3 years of record profits. So it's not a tax code holding them back. This is the great con. They're going to give more to the rich and to corporations, and the people in the middle and the bottom are going to end up paying for it. That is bad for the country, bad for the economy, and truly bad for workers.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 240 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to coverage of a call for unions to do more to fight gender-based violence in their own ranks, the news that one of our solidarity actions has had an effect and that a Libyan trade unionist is free to continue her work, and new restrictions on the right to strike in Australia that are amongst the worst in the world. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Dockers at a huge new port in Sri Lanka were locked out. Airline pilots in Mexico held a partial strike to support their bargaining committee's position. Dockers used cars and bicycles to blockade an Australian port. Garment workers in Cambodia left work to protest their lack of legally required time off work. Mexican workers continued to blockade a mine in an effort to force their employer to recognize the independent union of their choice. Sugar workers in Iran launched a work stoppage and protest rallies after 4 months of work with no pay. And university lecturers in Cameroon ended their strike when their employer agreed to return to the bargaining table. Our top working women stories included coverage of a decision by Ethiopian unions to prioritize women's workplace rights, the progress of the Zambian union campaign against gender-based violence, a conference on unions in the lives of women workers in Southeast Asia, and a comparison of the lives lived by Bangladeshi women garment workers today and those of women in the unionized garment industry of the United States. The Health and Safety Newswire, we run in cooperation with Hazards Magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the March on Parliament by South African ambulance workers who were demanding military protection, how much safer American hotel room attendants are when provided with panic alarms, and about the legal action taken by British unions to protect construction industry safety activists from being blacklisted by their employers. Currently, Labor Start is running 5 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.